Mark chapter 1, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." I want to draw your attention to an expression that we find. It's actually two words that we find repeated in these verses. The first time is in verse number 18, and it's the two words, "their nets." I'd like you to notate that by either underlining it or drawing a circle or a square around those words. It says, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Then again, at the end of verse number 19, the last two words that we find, it says, "who also were in the ship mending their nets." And I'd like for you to notate "their nets" in verse 19 as well. And this morning, we're going to talk for a few moments about leaving nets. Leaving nets. In 1992, the United Nations came together and they placed a ban on the use of drift net fishing in the ocean. The outcry from the United Nations and from activists was that the use of drift nets continually entangled, captured, and caused the death of dolphins, seals, sea turtles, and other such animals. It wasn't what they were fishing for, but these were innocent animals that were caught up in these nets and were unduly being killed. As you think about the use of these drift nets and what they were doing, the net itself was not bad. And the net did catch the fish that they were trying to catch. But despite all of its positives, the nets themselves had a negative impact and the ultimate death of many animals that they weren't set out to cause. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the nets in my life and the nets in your life. And as we seek to identify these nets in our lives, you're going to see that just like these fishermen's nets, that nets are not always bad. Nets are not always sinful, and nets are not always evil, but like these drift nets of these fishermen's, our nets can have a negative impact on our spiritual life that we didn't even realize that they were having. And as we look here into Mark chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus is gathering together the disciples. He's beginning to call them, who we know as the 12, together to himself. And as he begins to go, he mentions them to follow him. And as they do, we see a powerful lesson through what these men do with their nets. And they teach us what we need to do with the nets that we have in our own life. And so this morning, may God help us this morning as we begin the first part of a two-part message entitled Leaving Nets. The first thing I want to do this morning and the first thing I want us to look at is the representation of nets. Number one, let's talk for a moment about the representation of nets. Now, you may be thinking to yourself this morning, wow, Pastor, you're really preaching a sermon on nets. Are the nets really that significant in this passage of Scripture? Well, if you look at verses 16 through 20, the nets are referenced three different times. The Holy Spirit, as He inspired Mark to write these words, could have easily left that out of the story. He could have easily written this whole passage of Scripture and say that Jesus came and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, and they were fishing and not mention the nets at all. When he goes on and he begins to look at James, he could have went and even though James was mending his nets, the Holy Spirit could have left that out and said, well, he saw James working and he called James and said, James, will you come follow me? However, three different times, the Holy Spirit of God inspires Mark to pin down specifically about these nets. And that tells us that there's significance there. And what's significant is what these nets picture or what they represent. And specifically, as we think about these nets to these men, they represent four things. Number one, these nets represent their interest. Number one, they represent their interest. When we look at these nets, they're symbolic of what these men were passionate about. These men loved to fish. It's what they love to do. They probably grew up as little boys with cane poles and tree limbs with a line tied to the end of it. And they probably hung out right at the shore and saw the other adult fishermen. But they fished because they loved it. It's what they wanted to do. They had a passion. Man, they would sit and think about fishing when they weren't able to fish. And they dreamed about fishing when they weren't able to fish. It's what they were interested in. These nets, when we see it, they represent their interest. They loved being on the water. They thought about being on the water. They thought about catching fish. But they not only represent their interest, they also represent their income. The second thing, these nets, when we think about these nets that the Bible mentions, is it represents their income. It's how they made a living. Fishing for these men wasn't a hobby. It wasn't something they did on the weekend. It wasn't something they did on a day off, but it was something that they did so that they could provide food for their families. Everything they ate, everything they bought, everything they traded for was done through the work of fishing. These nets represented their livelihood. Now, not everybody's interest is also the same source of their income, but these men had that luxury. These men got to make a living doing what they loved. And as I was studying this week, I thought, that's me. I get to make a living doing what I love. I love to preach. I love to teach. I love to study the Word of God. I love to minister. And just like these men, their interest was the same as their income. So when we think about these nets, it was what they were passionate about, but it was also how they made their living. The third representation of these nets that we see this morning is that these nets represent their investment. They represent their investment. When you decide that you want to be a commercial fisherman or you want to be a fisherman, if you just want to go out here and fish at Lake Tillery, they don't just walk up and hand you a fishing pole and some line and some bait and say, well, here you go. We heard you're interested in this and we're giving these away. Here's a brand new Ranger bass boat. Have a good time. Here's a gas card. You can fill it up. And when that runs out, we'll give you another one. If you guys know of a place like that, please let me know. But they didn't do that today, and they didn't do that then. These men had to buy these nets. These nets were an investment. It was something that they had to purchase. They had to buy. And it was something that they took very good care of. And you know that because of what we see in verse 19, when the Bible tells us in verse 19, at the end of the verse, it says, who also were in the ship mending their nets. If these nets were useless, he wouldn't be taking the time to mend the holes in the nets, but rather they were valuable. And these nets represented investment. They represented things that they had paid for, time and money. But they also represented a fourth thing. The fourth thing these nets represented was their intelligence. They represented their intelligence. When you look at these nets, it was a picture of what these men knew. It would be no different than going to look at a carpenter and looking at his hammer and looking at his saws and looking at his level and looking at his tri-square and looking at all the different tools. It was a representation of what they knew. Now these disciples, these fishermen weren't necessarily book smart. They didn't have degrees by their name. But sometimes in our society, I fear that we've gotten to the place where unless somebody has a degree beside their name, we think they're a moron. But the reality is that couldn't be further from the truth. This nation was built on the backs of tradesmen. This nation was built on the backs of men and women who had great intelligence, who understood and had great intelligence of trades, and they had great intelligence of lots of things, but they didn't necessarily have formal training and formal education. And the reality is that's these men. These nets represented what they knew. They were very intelligent men. They knew how to navigate ships. They knew where to fish. They knew when to fish. They knew how to gather the nets. They knew what fish were what and how to catch them and when. These nets are representative of their interest. It's what they're passionate about. These nets are representative of their income. It's how they made a living. These nets are representative of their investment and of their intelligence. So when you think about these nets and as we talk about them, we're talking about the things in their life that had their heart, the things that had their hands, and the things that took the hours of their day. You ought to write that down somewhere in your notes. The nets are the things that had their hearts, it's the things that had their hands, and it's the things that took the hours of their day. Now again, I want to remind you, there was absolutely nothing sinful about these nets. There was nothing bad about them fishing. There was nothing at all. But as you think about their nets, the things that they had their heart on, the things that they had their hands on, and the things that took the hours of their day. What are the nets in your life? What are the things that consume your heart, the things that you're passionate about, the thing that you wake up in the morning thinking about, the thing that you think about while you're at work, the thing you think about when you go to sleep at night? What are the things that have your hands, the things that your hands are constantly consumed with and marked with and scarred with? And what are the things that takes the most hours of your day, even if it's not working necessarily, but it's what your mind and your heart is focused on? Whatever that is for all of us, those are nets. So let's notice the second thing about nets. Now we know the representation of nets and what we're talking about. Secondly, I want you to see the restriction of nets. Secondly, we talk about the restriction of nets. I love the visual illustration that Scripture gives here to relay this truth. And it's one of the reasons I believe that the Holy Spirit of God uses a net and why He mentions it in this passage of Scripture. Nets by design are made to capture and they're made to confine. Now, not all nets are used for fishing. There are nets for birds. There are nets for other animals and game that are used for trapping sometimes, even though now most of the time today they've gone from mesh and rope to now they're steel cages and different things. But it's the same principle. But the reality is, no matter what net you're looking at, its function is to restrict. And as you think about the symbolism and the picture of what Jesus is doing here with these disciples, He teaches us that there are things in our lives, just like these nets, that capture our hearts, our hands, and the hours of our day. And they can hinder our spiritual growth. There are things in our lives just like these nets. And they capture us. And they confine us. And they take our heart and they take our hands. And they take the hours of our day and they can hinder our spiritual growth. Now let me see if I can illustrate it to you with these disciples. Consider the passage for a moment. And as we use this illustration, consider this morning and imagine in your mind if I had a big fishing net. Now, I'm not talking about like one of these steel poles with the round thing at the end and some green wire that you'd use to scoop up a bass or a crappie out of the water or a bream or something like that. I'm talking about a big, thick rope like you'd see at the fish camp mounted on the wall. All right, big, thick rope with something that they would have thrown out to try to catch fish. Now, imagine this morning if we're here with those disciples and Jesus walks up. And here's Peter, and here's James, and here's John, and they've got that rope, and they're working with it. And they're passionate. Man, they're laying it out, and one of them's going, "Hey, don't lay it out like that. You got to lay it out straight. It'll get kinked that way, and it'll never work. Come on, James, we talked about this." I mean, they're passionate about it. They've got a specific way they want to do it. And then you look at them, and they've got their hands on that rope. And they go out, and then when they go out to the ship, they take that and they grab that net and they cast it out, and then they drag it back in. Here's the thing. Jesus walks up to people whose heart and whose hands and whose hours are spent on those nets. But here's the problem. Jesus had something else that He wanted for their heart. He had something else that He wanted their hands to tend to. And He had something else that He wanted the hours of their day to be given to. Jesus didn't want these fishermen to have their hearts completely on these nets. He didn't want them to be passionate about catching fish and this, that, and the other. He wanted them to be passionate about trying to reach people. But as long as they were passionate about that, it was always going to take away from the passion that He had for their heart. As long as their hands were holding on to those nets, whether it was mending them or whether it was casting them out or whether it was dragging them in or whether it was spreading them out, as long as their hands were on those nets, you know what their hands couldn't do? Their hands couldn't go get the bread, the continual bread as it was divided by the Savior, and walk out and distribute the bread and distribute the fish to 5,000 people. As long as their hands were on the nets, they couldn't accomplish the thing that Jesus had for their hands to accomplish. And as long as they were there passionate, thinking about, sleeping about, waking up, dreaming about fishing, they could not take and dream about and think about all the things of the kingdom of God. That is the restriction that nets have. There was nothing sinful, nothing wrong with their nets, but what it is that God had something better for them than those nets. And there are things just like those nets in my life and in your life that we can get consumed by, and they restrain us. God says, there's nothing wrong with you having your heart there, but I've got something else I want to put in your heart. There's nothing wrong with you having your hands on this, but I've got something else I want to use your hands for. There's nothing wrong with you spending the hours of your day there, but I've got something better that I want you to spend the hours of your day for. So you say, well, preacher, we've identified these nets and what they represent, and now we understand that they're restricting. What do? Well, let's notice the third thing in the passage, and that's the request of the Nazarene. The third thing we see in this passage of Scripture is the request of the Nazarene. As we dive into the passage, now we can learn a lot from what Jesus does and how he approaches them. And as we look at it, we see two things about his request. First of all, his request begins with his invitation. When Jesus comes to these men, he comes to them and he invites them. We look again in verse 16. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So Jesus walks up and here's these men casting these nets out into the sea. And notice what Jesus says in verse 17. It says, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Jesus is inviting them. And his invitation is twofold. First, he invites them to come after me. Is that not what he says in verse 17? He walks up and he says, come ye after me. They're fishing. That's what they do for a living. It's where their interest is. It's where their heart is. It's what's got a hold of their hands. It's what's got a hold of the hours of their day. And Jesus comes up and he says, hey, come ye after me. But he doesn't just say, come ye after me. He tells them a second thing. He says, and I will make you. He invites them. He says, you come after me. And he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. In essence, he's saying this. He says, you come after me. And he said, I will change your life. I'll transform your life. I'll make you into something that you weren't before. I will, just like a potter would lay his hands on wet clay, I will form you and I will place in you and I will make you something better and something different. So he comes and he invites them to come. Do you know that that's the same exact invitation that Jesus has given us today? The same invitation he gave to them, he gives to us today through his precious word and through this preacher this morning. He's saying, come ye after me and I will make you. You come after me, you follow me and I will change you. I'll transform your life. He not only makes the request by inviting them, but I want you to notice the second thing that we learn. And the second thing we learn from the request of the Nazarene is we learn something from his insight. The second lesson that we learn is not from something that Jesus says, but it's something that Jesus didn't say. If we look again in verse 17, which is the only part of this passage that has Jesus actually speaking, in verse 17 it says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now what didn't Jesus say? What didn't Jesus talk about at all? He didn't talk at all about their nets. He never mentions their nets. He didn't come to them and say, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now leave those nets alone. Now in his omniscience, he knew that in order for them to follow him, they were going to have to leave those nets. But he didn't address the nets with them. The lesson that you and I can learn from that is this. One of the biggest mistakes we make in ministry, and as we try to invite people to church, as we try to invite people to come to Christ, is we talk too much about what it is that we want them to stop doing, and we talk too little about trying to get them to follow Jesus. Jesus understood that the way to get people to leave their nets was to get them to follow him. And the way you and I are going to reach people is not by going to them saying, now listen, you need to stop doing this, 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 and this, and this is wrong, and you know that's wrong, and you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't be living here, you shouldn't be doing that. Now come follow Jesus. See, we've got it backwards. Yes, that needs to happen. Yes, there needs to be a holy life, but it has to begin first with them following him. And that will be a byproduct of them following him. An old country preacher used to say it this way. He said, you got to catch a fish before you can clean it. Now some of you fishermen say, well, yeah, that's very true, preacher. It's going to be hard to clean him while he's in the water. But you know what? Sometimes that's what we try to do as church people. We want somebody to be cleaned up, looking right, talking right, acting right before they come in. It's not going to work that way. First, they've got to follow him, and then the byproduct will be them leaving those things behind. And so we learn that lesson from the request of the Nazarene, his invitation to them, but then his insight. So as we move on in the story, Jesus invites these men to follow him, and they accept. And that's where we learn the fourth and final lesson this morning, and that's the releasing of nets. The fourth and final point we learn this morning is the releasing of nets. Notice what the Bible says in verse 18. It says, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." The word forsook that's used there in verse 18 comes from the Greek word aphiemi, and it means to let go, to disregard, or to keep no longer. There are actually times in Scripture where that word is used and is translated in terms of divorce. So when we talk about it, it says they forsook their nets. It's a strong breaking of a bond. It's a strong breaking of something that was once had a hold of someone that is now no longer important to that person. And that's what it says. It says that when Jesus invited them, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When Jesus called them to come, they let those nets go and they followed him. Now, it's important. And the order of events that we see here is paramount to us understanding this truth. Notice the order of events here that we find in verse 18. It says, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." The first thing they did was forsake their nets. The second thing they did was follow him. You cannot change. You cannot rearrange this order of events. It can't be altered. It can't be changed. It can't be rearranged. It has to be this way. You cannot first try to follow him, or you cannot first try to follow him and then forsake your net. It can't work that way. It's given specifically here because this is exactly what has to happen. The nets have to be left before you can follow him. If we try to change it around, if we try to do it the other way, it cannot work. Now remember, when we're talking about nets, we're talking about the things that have our heart, the things that have our hands, and the things that have the hours of our day. We must first leave those things before we can follow Jesus any further. Now listen, I'm not talking to you this morning about quitting your job. I'm not talking to you this morning about quitting every hobby and quit doing anything that you enjoy in life and, goodness, just get up every morning and fill your pocket full of gospel tracts and walk through downtown Monroe or Pageant or wherever witnessing to people and then read your Bible a little while, pray, take a nap, get up and do it all over again. I'm not trying to suggest that. But what I am saying is that there are things in our lives that are just like these nets in the lives of these disciples. And there are things that we love and that we seek after far more than we seek after Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is teaching us here through these disciples is this, is if you and I want to grow in our faith, if we want to accomplish everything that he has for us, then we've got to address these nets. Because these nets, if we don't, will always serve as a hindrance to us. In my mind, as I was preparing this message, I got to thinking about people trying to hang on to their net and still trying to follow Jesus. Now imagine for a moment if these disciples said, "Okay, we'll follow you, but look, buddy, you need to understand, I paid a lot for these nets. I've mended them, and I ain't leaving them. So I'll follow you, but I'm bringing this net." Now imagine, here's Peter, here's Andrew. One of them's got a hold of one side of the net, the other one's got another hold, and they're trying to walk down the street with that big fishing net. And here's Jesus, they're trying to follow him. Well, what's going to happen? It's going to get snagged. It's going to get hung up on everything. So as they drag that net, yeah, we're following. Oh, wait a minute, we're hung up back here. I got it caught on this speaker. Hold on just a second. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming. Oh, well, I got it caught up on the pulpit. Hang on, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming. All right, Jesus, we're coming. Whoa, there's another speaker. I didn't see that speaker there. You know what would happen? They're trying to follow him, but they're falling further and further and further behind because that net keeps getting snagged on everything in their path. And that's sadly what happens to so many people who want to serve Jesus. They want to serve him with all of their heart. They want to grow in their faith. They want to grow deeper. But they won't first forsake the net. They won't first let it go. And so they try to follow him with their net. And they keep falling further and further and further behind where he'd have them to be. So this morning, the message is this. You and I have got to identify the nets in our own lives. What has our heart, what has our hands, and what has the hours of our day. And whatever it is, unless we let it go, it's going to continue to hinder us in our faith. And Jesus is inviting you today to do the same thing that he invited them to do. He says, you follow after me. And he said, I will make you. I will transform you. I will change your life. But the question is this. Will you and I be willing to leave our nets to follow him and be his disciple? Let's bow our heads in prayer.